The Foxglove by Anna Avebury. Despite my name, I mean well. Show my hand for all to see, a carolan of silk, softer than the finest pelt. However, beware the tolling of dead men's bells of pungent purple, heavy with seed. Only fools would dare a lion's mouth. For all the tales of fairy folk, my thimbles bear a bitter tang. For my name's sake, I work by stealth on the tightrope between sickness and health. Cushions for John Clare. A tapestry of flowers, tracts of daisies and blue-eyed forget-me-nots, some in posies, others in boxes. Brushed by the breeze, lavender and stocks hum with bees. There's Queen Anne's lace for purity of soul, signs of the year's turning in dark-eyed sloes, to lay them down at his head, at his feet, brightening his day, making his dreams sweet. Snowdrops. Suddenly, each year, green shoots brave bleak February days. Snow and hail and biting winds test their resolve. They stand firm, biding their time. The next time you look, they're bonneted in white. A cluster of nodding heads, a congregation of light, celebrating life. Thirsting for rain. Cool woodland streams lose their sparkle, run dry. Roots shrivel. Leaves curl in on themselves, thirsting for rain. In cities, fans whir, commuters moan and mop their brows as they scroll screens and read the skies for signs of rain. Spires of lupins flare blue flames and roses glow like coals. Grass refuses to grow, sickens, yellowing for lack of rain. The vixen stalks shadows, nosing roads and drains. The hare chases dreams through meadows in search of rain. When will the willow stir again to the splash of water birds in the lake and the kingfisher preen relishing the rain? When glens and fells echo once more to running streams, and swans dip their beaks into clouds, we will be blessed with rain. Window world. Here at the window, hands in suds among islands of plates and mugs, cutlery like shipwrecked treasure at the bottom of the sink, I see my mother's hands through my own, moving round the plates, rinsing them as she did our faces, swishing the flannel from forehead to chin and back again. Outside, shadows of a table and shrubs appear. Denizens of the window world I enter standing here. Voices chink over my shoulder, cup against saucer, as in the dining room with its slim 70s sideboard, housing my father's socks on one side, his rum in the other. A telephone, blue squat toad, perched on a pink doily in the corner. The garden lies silent and dark. Somewhere a cat yowls, a car speeds off into the distance. Now a fridge and door appear in the window, no more substantial than their distant cousins, the fleeting visitors who ghost this kitchen, like one of the neighbours just dropping by.
Joseph by Sylvia Banham. The shore is a dark strip of foreground on which the water dances and turns away, dances and turns away in a white glimmer of spray. Beyond, where pale creases of water meet the paler sky, echoing blue on blue, your little figure, net in hand, intently leans into the endless sea, into the far-out horizon. Your shadow, only a dark scribble on the water. What is it that enthralls you? Alone, alert, only a knee height from land, waiting for something to surface, waiting, net in hand, still between deep sea and sand. Verulamium Park, St Albans. This poem arose from walking on a sunny day in Verulamium Park, and it seemed to provide an image of peaceful coexistence on a day in which the world news was of religious and racial tensions forcing many people to flee their lives. Alban, who had a way with water, might feel at ease here by the lake. Here birds of differing feathers are subject only to fickle weathers. No need to hide their plumage, like the priest Amphibolus, who, disguised in the saint's borrowed cloak, must flee the Romans, eager for his blood. Herons trail skinny legs, wings beating slow. Bustle of coots, moorhens, mallards, geese with flotillas of goslings in tow, and gawky half-grown birds whose elders beleaguer passers-by for bread. Swans aloof paddle the backwater. A gaggle of chattering term-time Vikings in cardboard helmets vie for notice with the tinfoil shiny ducks. Cacophony of birds, feathers sleek as oil slicks in the mirrored light, dipping, skidding, wheeling in sudden flight in watery territory shared oblivious of tribe, where once Boudicca and her Iceni routed Romans. Today no hint of quarrels with alien gods and factions. An old man dozes on a bench, lovers dawdle hand in hand. The water bears no trace of bloodshed, battles, bigotry. In the museum at the park's edge, mosaics and pottery lie with weapons, coins, insignia side by side. Nearby, on its chalky bed, the river slips beyond the park, idles beneath the bridge where Alban, outcast from Verulamium, stemmed a flood, or where his lopped-off head, so legend says, rolled downhill and a spring welled up. Death Instinct. Red kites glide over furrows in effortless parabolas. Earth hard, hedges bare, no place for mouse or worm to hide. It is the bird's streamlined flight keeps the trees intent on the pale sky, indifferent to the intended victim's plight. A survivor's mirroring instinct for keeping fatality at bay. Motion disguising the skeleton beneath the wing. Stasis, the cold bones of the branches mimicking death's rigidity. And my admiration complicit. Tuscan Church. Jesus hangs in the gloom, legs bent, body curved like a skier, under his patina of centuries-old paint. Simplicity and silence. Only our hushed voices, breathing the hallowed names, Lorenzetti, Giotto. Eyes lingering on faded frescoes like fingers telling rosary beads. From the shadow, dark as his suit, a kneeling shape emerges. Head bent, eyes closed, hands clasped, bulky flesh and blood. A fervent man of sorrows, oblivious of images. The heavy door swings open, letting sunlight in upon the wounded god in golds and reds, and on his sombre, suffering counterpart. We slip outside, our secular devotions done, leaving behind us in the dark the glowing crucifix, the kneeling man. Housewife. Jack by the hedge illuminates the patch of tangled undergrowth and weeds where amorous ivy tendrils latch themselves to bark, and bindweed feeds on the dark beads of black currants which soften in the ripening sun. Here, wide-eyed clematis decant soft light onto the shadowed earth, dun where desiccated moss still clings. In this half-hidden, untamed area, where butterflies spread patterned wings amongst the unruly buddleia, which drapes the compost heap in blue, she hangs the washing out to dry, keeping a love tryst, giving no clue of her affair with lavish earth and sky. The dead. The dead leave traces of themselves, empty houses, tombstones, derelict castles. I hear their voices echo in old songs. I visit them in galleries and books, or notice them with interest framed on friends' walls and mantelpieces. Yet there are some who come unbidden, unannounced, though not unwelcome. They enter me. They do not feel like ghosts. I do not think they mean to make me sad. In a new light. To rise at this early hour seems not the restlessness of an insomniac, but the key to a door closed to those still sleeping. Sun patterns the ceiling. Objects own their separate shapes. And unexpectedly, the mind's freight shifts in this new light, sheds its weight.